Margaret Bootland, Reel 4.
That was clutching my arm, and I sort of helped her a bit, and then all of a sudden, on the path ahead, and his face was covered with shadow where the leaves was an army officer, and got my handkerchief on that, sorry. He put his hand up. He said, "I'm sorry to stop you, but you can't go on this path any longer." He said, and he waited till we all got together. He said, "Now I want you to follow me. We're going to have some refreshments." He said, "There's a ruined temple, pagoda, a ruined pagoda." And he says, "We have refreshments laid on." So, of course, we followed him, and when we got into this pagoda, it was lovely. The grass was thick and deep, and we sat with our backs against the wall, and there were several bearers there to serve bully beef sandwiches, mugs of tea. We all carried our own mugs and things. And then he said, "I want you to rest until 2 o'clock and we push up again. We can't go ahead because the camp you were due to go to, they're dropping like flies with cholera." And he said, "We daren't let you go any further." So we had a good chat with him, and he asked us if we had anything to help the natives, and all we had was brandy, with no aspirin or anything like that. And Lot and I had a chat, and she said, "Look, if I give my bottle up, I can share yours if necessary, can't I?" I said, "Of course you can." So we handed over this Dettol bottle full of brandy, and he was very, very grateful. We sat there till 2 o'clock. The kiddies went to sleep, had a little nap. And then at 2 o'clock, we had a guy that came for us, and we started walking again. And it was really the worst day of the whole trek. We walked on, and the kiddies began to get a little fretful. And we were sitting on a milestone, so many miles to thing. And Miss Baker came along with some friends, and she saw the situation, and we were thinking we'd have to piggyback them a bit. But she said, "Look, you two go on." That was Lottie and I. "You two go on. And I'm going to sit here on this stone. The boys can sit on the grass, and I've got something nice for them." And in her pack, haversack, she brought out a little jar of barley sugar, the twisted sugar things. And she gave them one each, and she says, "Now I'm going to tell you a story. And when I've finished that story, we will walk to the next milestone. And then we'll have another barley sugar." She said, "We haven't any barley sugar for the mums. They can go on." And she was a wonderful person. And she came in about 2 hours later after we'd got to the next camp. And she was absolutely exhausted. Really, I think she should have been decorated for what she did. She had all the kiddies round her. And she was snow white, elderly.
How
Mulwind,
about your poor old feet? What
well,
did you
I
have on
was
your
lucky
feet?
that some suffered agonies. One of the Mrs. Butler, her feet, we gave her all the plasters we had and helped her in every way, but she set off in kind of tennis shoes. She hadn't got some strong. Mind you, he was a corporal. And I don't, she was caught napping like everyone else. And no one to advise her what to do, what to pack. I was very fortunate that Alan was there to supervise Lottie and I.
What did you have on your feet?
I had some leather shoes. They were an American style, two-tone, cream of white, more like golf shoes, you know, and they did me well. But, on the morning, we had to run up to the hospital and all have jabs. And for the first few days, we had sore arms, but it wore off. But I was telling you, walked on and we arrived at the next camp absolutely bushed, and there were some bearers there and they handed tea round, which we were so grateful for. But the trouble was, it was sweet tea, and as soon as Lachlan and I, we both didn't take sugar, and as soon as we drank this tea, it was returned. We had to run to the bushes and vomit it all back, because it was being so hot and bothered, it hadn't revived. It would have been better with a cold drink. And then it was ages before the boys came in, and they were sweaty, so we took them to a stream nearby, gave them a bath, and then put their pyjamas on. It was too hot to put a dressing gown on, although we had one in the pack, a thin dressing gown. And then Lottie and I, we each went further upstream where there were a lot more bushes, and we had a bath. One kept caving for the other. We came back, and then I said, I'm going to see what we've got to eat. And these cooks, they'd been caught napping because we'd arrived a day earlier and they hadn't drawn the full rations for us. And they tried to explain it to us and we understood. We went to look and there were like witches' cauldrons, tripods, and the fire was underneath. Big black pot, two. One of rice and one of curry. And when I saw the curry, she said, oh, dear. I said, come on, you'll survive it. But we never got it, because someone said, oh my God, look at that. And there was black clouds racing towards us. And then it began to spit with rain. And we dived into the shelters, bamboo bashes. There were big ones, eight beds in these bashes, just bamboo, plain bamboo beds. But then you put your bedding roll on, undid it, and there was your bed ready. But the heavens opened and the rain came down in torrents, and someone said, do you want to know something, girls? Our supper's going down the hill. The rain was in and it was all pouring out. So we said, oh dear. And one of the cooks, he was yelling across to someone, no more rations, no more rations. And when it stopped and the sun came out for a bit, I went to look, and Miss Baker, she went out and someone helped them. These heavy pots, had rice in. She tipped the water out and then she scraped the rice that was stuck at the bottom onto a dinner plate, an enamel plate. We all carried our own plates. She got a plate full of rice, and then in her pack she had a small tin of Nestle's milk, and she shouted to Keith and Ian, and there was one girl, too, and she said, now then, run and ask your mummies for your plates and spoons, and you can have some rice pudding. So they had a supper, but we didn't have anything. And we got to bed, and then the storm rumbled back again, and it began to rain very heavily. And the Ian said, "Mummy, it's raining on me." I said, "Oh dear." And I tried to move his bed, and I held a tin plate over him and the ping of it all. He said, "Do you know, Mummy, if Daddy knew what was happening to us, he'd be awfully cross with God, wouldn't he?" Someone laughed. "Good old Ian," I said. But I said, "Look, come squeeze into my bed," because his bed was being dripped on. The bedrolls were waterproof, but of course you were exposed, so I shut his bed up and brought him into mine. And next morning, we couldn't have any tea because all the wood was wet. So we had to set off, and it was really the last day's march. We had to set off and climb this hill, big hill. And Ian said to me, "Mummy, I've got a stomachache. I don't feel very well." So I looked at him, and he was flushed and hot and sweaty. I said, "You know what it is? You're hungry." I said, "But we'll get some food soon." So I said, "Hand me a pot, enamel mug." And I put some water in, and then a good splash of brandy. I said, "Now then, sit down and drink that." And after a bit, he was giggling and running after the kids. And he was all right. And we got to the top of this hill. We were all stragglers. We got up. And then when we got to the top and we're going down, someone said, "What on earth's wrong with those people down there?" And I said, "They look to be waving." And when we got nearer, someone said, "I'm sure I can see stalls." And we went down, and sure enough, there were two big stalls the natives had put up. And one was full of bananas, and the other was lots and lots of hard-boiled eggs. Oh, it was a godsend. And then it was sunny and nice. And I remember a colonel's wife waving, peeling her egg and waving at me. She said, "You know I'd give a month's pay to put in this egg into some salt." She said, "It's tasteless without, but it's food." She said, "I'm so hungry." I said, "Yes, we all are. We all are." So we had a couple of hard-boiled eggs each and then a couple of bananas, and we felt fine. And when we got to the bottom, and in the book I said, they charged outrageous prices for them, but who cared? Who cared? We were hungry and happy to pay. Then we went on and we met someone coming towards us. He was a native. Excuse me. And he said, "About a mile further on, there are some buses waiting for you." And we couldn't believe it. But we went on, and they were, but they must have been World War One. They were old-fashioned buses. They opened the back door and put the steps down. You got into it, and each side were facing one another. But the thing was, when the bus was full, they put the steps up, and the thing did move. It did go, and it took us into to Imphal, and we felt we'd come back to civilization.
How many days had you been marching then, or walking?
In all, I'm not too sure, but in all, the trip took us 27 days, 3 days short of a month.